Well, we love the music. I love the song. And it only means one thing, and that is Kerry Crowley of the Bay Area News Group is going to join us. And, Kerry, how are you? Things moving along in baseball. My goodness, things are starting to move a little fast.
Yeah, Marty, doing much better this week. Certainly feeling more optimistic, as I know you are. And, you know, there's so much going on, but at least we, in theory, have something to look forward to here with baseball coming to us within less than a month now.
Now, how will you handle this? And Henry will be on the show tonight, and Mark Sanchez, and we want to get Maria Guardado on next week, and Alex, and Chris Haft, if he's available. But you guys actually have a very important role right now, because not many people will be there to see what's going on. You guys will be there, and what kind of precautions do you have? What is life going to look like for you guys, at least over the next 3 weeks?
Yeah, it's really fascinating to consider, Marty, as to what spring training 2.0 or summer camp will look like, particularly for us, because I know that we'll be involved and we'll be allowed to be in the stadium when these games do take place, but we're starting to set the protocols for what we'll be allowed to do during the workouts, and it appears as though we'll be allowed to see like a 90-minute to two-hour window per day of these workouts, and I'm not sure if we'll be allowed to roam around the stadium. All indications are we'll be confined to a smaller area, but we'll have to wear masks inside the ballpark. We'll get our temperatures checked before going in, and you know, with the location of Oracle Park and the location of the Pier 3032 test site, Marty, I feel like I'd be inclined to go get my coronavirus test at least once or twice a week.
Well, why not? I mean, it doesn't hurt to do it. And if it's close by where you are, absolutely. But that's part of what's going to go on with the players. Let's talk a little bit about the protocols and the challenges that are ahead. Now, look, when we have spring training, you know, guys, we have fun. We sit in the dugout. we talk. You know, we go back and forth. We walk around. We look at each other. Meanwhile, for 4 hours, we're talking baseball. But we're part of everything. We run down to the other field and look, and we go and watch the pitchers pitch, and we're hanging on the dugout rail. This thing is going to be completely different. I mean, can you describe what's going on inside the ballpark? Because it's not going to look like Scottsdale.
No, it's certainly not going to look like Scottsdale. And it's funny you mention that, Marty, because I was texting with Alex Pavlovich this week saying how much I'm going to miss the banter, because one of our favorite things to do during spring training is piece together the 25-man roster, thinking about all the different ways that Farhan can put the roster together, all the different ways that Gabe Kapler can use these different players, who's going to be the fourth starter, who's going to be the fifth starter. And I just don't think that, I mean, even if we're allowed to stand within 10 feet of each other and have conversations, I don't know that those are the conversations that we'll be having. I think that we'll have our binoculars out trying to look into the bullpens out in center field now at Oracle Park, and we'll be trying to figure out just who's throwing. But I just can't imagine that the dialogue and the discussions will be in any way, shape, or form similar to what takes place down in Scottsdale because of these circumstances.
No, and no, and again, I don't know if they're going to let you roam around the park, but in the hallways, if you want to take a shower, you can take a shower there. You know, they're going to set up lockers all over the park. They're going, if you walk from the bullpens to the players' parking lot, you may have to go over some pitching mounds or some infield drills that are going on in the hallway. It just reminds me of living in a dorm, and everything's happening in the outside your room, so to speak. This is going to be weird.
It really is, and it's so funny that, you know, the Giants are and their fans are already talking about ways that they can see games this year. I saw a few articles written this week about fans flocking to McCovey Cove and trying to see through the right field wall if they can, because Oracle Park is one of those ballparks where you actually can get a glimpse of the action if you don't have a ticket to the game. And with no fans being allowed in, Marty, it's going to be interesting to see if, you know, on a nice July or August Saturday afternoon, if McCovey Cove fills up with kayaks and people trying to get a glimpse of the game, because you won't see that anywhere else around baseball. And San Francisco is one of the few places that that you can theoretically have that situation. So it's not just going to be inside the park that's going to look different. I think that there are going to be people circling the park on the outside trying to get their own glimpses of the action.
So do you think the port walk will be open where you can lean against that screen, so to speak? Now I know you can't get up against the right field. Yeah, the right field wall where Carmen likes to be with the folks from the Gotham Club. I don't think that's possible, but McCovey Cove Dave is planning on being out in McCovey Cove. We know that. I think that may be the only way to do it. I'm not sure if they're going to let people on the port walk to get that close to the ballpark.
Yeah, did the Giants own that land behind the ballpark? Because I think that that would probably come down to whether, you know, the city's trying to close or the Giants can actually just do it on their own. It would probably make sense to keep people away from there, even though, you know, you would like to see, if the Giants were playing the Dodgers on TV, you'd love to see 10 to 15 people being allowed back there to look through those little slats in the right field wall and to catch the action, because it really would provide quite a visual for baseball in 2020.
Then you need social distancing, so who knows if there's enough room to do that. Boy, well, interesting. All right, let's talk a little bit about the rules that are coming up. We know the spring training rules and, you know, the social distancing. The players are going to be tested. Are the players ready for all this to change their lives like this?
I can't imagine that anyone is ready mentally, physically for anything like this, Marty. I think that it's going to take a significant adjustment period. And I think that, you know, the players who go through this now are still going to be talking about it 30, 40 years from now when their careers have long wrapped up and they have gotten to experience, hopefully, at least a few games this season, because I'd love to see them be able to play this year. I'd love to see it be safe. But the protocols that are in place are extremely rigid right now, and they're going to have to be extraordinarily diligent to make sure that this season takes place. And, you know, you're never going to prevent all 750 players in Major League Baseball from going through a season without any positive tests. But we do hope to see a situation where it's small enough and confined enough to where this can largely be done safely. And then, you know, if that's the case, that means that players aren't giving high fives. There's no spitting on the field. There's no sunflower seeds. Players are leaving the ballpark in their uniforms because they didn't shower after the games in some circumstances. Who knows what road games will look like this year? So it's just going to be a really, really fascinating look into life and live sports in 2020 if they are able to pull this off.
Kerry Crowley with us, Bay Area News Group. Well, you have the 60-man control pool. You have that. You have the Giants still with the spring training where they've got to come up with at least 30 players, and they can have three taxi squad players hang around, and then 28th and 26th. It's spring training again, kind of where we left it. And I guess let's go backwards, rewind the clock a little bit as to where we were in spring training. Who could play, who couldn't play, and is it different now?
Yeah, Marty, I think at the end of spring training, you and I were having conversations, you know, how do you have room for Billy Hamilton, Yolmer Sanchez, Trevor Cahill, Pablo Sandoval, and Darren Ruff all on this roster? It just wasn't going to happen the way that things were structured with 26 players. You probably could have snuck on Billy Hamilton and then maybe Trevor Cahill wins that fifth starting job. But now we're talking about a scenario where all of those guys are on the roster in week one and then potentially playing significant roles for this team. I think that we're going to see a number of 40-man roster moves, whether they come tomorrow when the Giants have to set their 60-man pool, or they come at the end of spring training 2.0 when the Giants have to set their opening day roster. I do think that there will be some significant turnover because there's these non-roster veteran free agents who were not among those released on Friday who are really intriguing. And, you know, in the cases of someone like Trevor Cahill or Billy Hamilton, they can go out and help steal you some ball games this year. And so I think that that's exactly how the Giants are going to look at things when they do structure their initial roster.
Maybe I'm crazy, but I think the Giants are in decent shape to do them. I guess they got a hit. You know, that's the big issue. Can they hit at all? Because last year they couldn't hit. But he's got a ton of pitchers. The game has now changed to the point where if you got a ton of pitchers, you're actually in good shape. You don't need the great rotation. You know, give me 20 pitchers and I'll figure out how to do the 60 games. Maybe the Giants are in better shape in 60 games, and maybe this is kind of tailored for a team like them that plays the game kind of like a video game.
Well, consider the first 2 weeks of the season. We're not going to see any of these starting pitchers throwing more than four innings at a time. So the Giants are going to have situations where they're playing teams where their depth is kind of depleted, where they're getting into the seventh, eighth, ninth man on that pitching staff for their opponents. And they'll have better opportunities to hit. They'll have opportunities to match up. the way they want to with guys like Sandoval, Darren Ruff, Hunter Pence, Alex Dickerson. And so I think that that bodes well for them, Marty. But one thing that I would consider and the Giants fans should take comfort in is, you know, Farhan Zaidi hasn't changed the top of the roster since he took over as the president of baseball operations. They haven't done anything that have said, okay, the top five best players on this Giants team are different than they were, you know, in 2017, 2018, 2019. But what he has done is completely overhauled the middle and back ends of the roster. And so the Giants are in a situation where they're 6 through 35 on their depth chart, probably match up much better talent-wise with teams like the D-backs, the Padres, the A's, the Angels that they'll be meeting in this new National League West or Major League Baseball West, I should say, that they'll be playing in this season. And so I do think that it's interesting from that standpoint when you look at the first few weeks of the season. If the Giants get off to a hot start, I would say it's because of the depth that Farhan has accumulated over the last 2 years.
Yeah, I think there's a chance of that. I really, you know, if you looked at 162 and how they were going to get through 162 and the trade deadline and people would be, you know, working out so they could get traded and all that, dude, it's a whole different mindset. This thing, August 31st, who's getting traded for, you know, for 20 games?
Yeah.
You know, I don't see that happening. So I think, you know, the Samarges of the world and Drew Smileys and these people are here. And probably they're going to be part of it, which maybe makes the Giants more effective. The biggest argument seemed to be around the DH, and we've had that concept come up during the week. And I don't think it's a minus. It may not be the greatest DHs in the world, but I don't think it's a minus like it used to be.
No, I don't think it is. I don't think you're going to have a situation where, you know, Bruce Bochy ran out of options, and so Madison Bumgarner is the DH. Gabe Kapler's got a lot of intriguing guys at his disposal. And one thing that he can do, Marty, is just, you know, platoon the at-bats as the game goes along. If they've got a right-hander on the mound, he can send Pablo up to the plate to hit from the left side. If they've got a left-hander on the mound, he can send Darren Ruff up to the plate to hit from the right side. I think that he can pick and choose his spots with the DH, and that can be a position that kind of fluctuates over the course of the season. I don't think that the Giants have to be married to one particular player at that spot. Although, if you asked me and if I was in charge of building it, I'd have Joey Bart as the opening day DH and go from there. But I don't see the Giants doing that for a number of different reasons.
You think we will see him, though, during the summer?
You know, a lot of people say there's nothing to gain in bringing Joey Bart up and starting his clock. I say that's ridiculous. I think that Joey Bart is easily one of the top five right-handed hitters in the Giants organization right now, and I think that he can help them as a DH. And I think that, you know, small sample size, you're going to give him an opportunity to get exposed to the major leagues. He's not someone who's going to need all three options. So maybe he starts at AAA next year and, you know, starts from there and then works his way back to the roster. But, you know, I really did believe during spring training that Joey Bart was a far superior option to Tyler Heineman and Rob Brantley, and that's nothing against their skills. I just do think that Joey Bart is close to being ready, and you can kind of facilitate the process of getting him even readier for 2021 by mixing him in and giving him regular bats this season.
The bullpen becomes very important. Is this bullpen a strength, or are there too many question marks?
There's so many question marks, Marty, because I couldn't tell you three guys who are you know, on the bullpen right now. I think that so many of these guys, whether it be Tyler Anderson, Andrew Suarez, Derek Rodriguez, are they starters? Are they middle relievers? Are they guys who could eventually pitch in the sixth or seventh or eighth innings? I'm not really sure. And so it's hard to see the way this bullpen comes together, and I think that that'll be one of the greatest challenges Gabe Kapler and his staff faces this season, is deciding who pitches when. But they do have a number of really good arms. You know, they're going to get Reyes Maranta back at the middle of this season. They're entering the season with Harleen Garcia, who looked really good during spring training. They have Tyler Rogers, who was unhittable at the end of last season and was even more dominant during spring training. And so I think with him anchoring kind of the back end, they have a lot of guys who could be really good. Now it's just a matter of, can they piece this together over 60 games? And there are so many different scenarios where things could go wrong in that regard.
Yeah, God is another one, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Trevor Gott would not surprise me if he was throwing high leverage innings, and particularly because Trevor Gott can go two innings at a time, Marty, and I think that this year that's going to be really valuable. If you've got Trevor Gott and Tyler Rogers throwing two innings every 3 days, it might be more valuable than having them go in one inning spurts, because you can break up the game a little bit, have them get six outs, still not face hitters more than one time, and only use them once a series. And so I could definitely see the Giants maximizing Gott's skills in that regard.
We're going to have a lot to talk about over the next few weeks on roster composition, so we'll see how this plays out. They get to play a few extra exhibition games at the end, maybe some inter-squad games as we go along. So there will be some – I mean, guys got to get in shape, so we're going to have a lot of personnel stuff to talk about. I can see that coming up over the next few weeks. On a couple of other notes, Farhan was in the news. Now, you've covered the city side. And you've been through the protests, and you've really helped educate everyone on what's going on within the community during the time you've been doing it. Farhan got into it this week with the councilman from Scottsdale and just blasted the guy. And as I've said many times, I've never heard anyone with a baseball title like that take on something like this councilman in Scottsdale. What was your take on it?
You know, good for Farhan. Good for Farhan for standing up for the Giants, standing up for the organization, and all the people within the organization who were rightfully and justifiably offended by what Guy Phillips said, because it was horrifying to watch. It was disgusting, and no one like him should ever hold public office. So for Farhan to come out and use his platform and say that, I applaud him for that. And you know, we're supposed to be objective about things, Marty, in the business of journalism, and I have not talked to Farhan about this, but you know, just as a human being, you have to agree with that, because what took place in Scottsdale was visibly upsetting. It was really disturbing, and I hope that the people of Scottsdale realize that Guy Phillips, the damage that he has done, because it was horrifying, and you just can't justify anything like that.
Mm, amazing. I'm glad Farhan said what he did. Another St. Ignatius guy is now part of the system. I think they've only signed about five or six free agents, and now you got another guy from your school.
Yeah, Robert Emery, the catcher who began his college career at Dartmouth, transferred to the University of San Francisco, had a really strong 17-game stint with the Dons before the season was cut short due to the coronavirus pandemic. Marty, he was actually signed as a grad transfer to go play in the SEC at Arkansas, and the Giants wooed him away from that. They had the hometown pull, and so they get Emery in the organization. And I'm not so sure that he's, you know, a guy that you'll be seeing on top 30 prospect list, but I do know that he is a really strong defender behind the plate. He had a high on base percentage this year, has a little pop. And so there is a pathway for him to move through the organization. And I know that Farhan has stacked up on catchers, and versatile catching depth is something that they really like, but Rob Emery is, he's legit behind the plate as far as defenders are concerned. And so you can never have enough of that in your organization.
Well, Farhan has coined the phrase, I never heard it before in 150 years of baseball, you can't have enough catching. I've heard you can't have enough runs, you can't have enough pitching, but I've never heard you can't have enough catching. But he's making that happen. Well, we've got plenty to talk about with you. I'm looking forward to our next few weeks. I really am. And then, of course, we do our regular pre-games, which, of course, you're part of as well. So you're back to work and a lot of things happening. But, Kerry, there's a challenge ahead for everybody in this thing. This is not a piece of cake.
No, not at all, Marty. And, you know, we always have these discussions throughout spring training. Can this team stay healthy? Can this team keep all their personnel together heading into the season? And that has taken on a completely different meaning in 2020 with the start of summer camp. Can this team stay healthy no longer refers to the arm injuries and the hamstring injuries that you see when guys warm up. Those are just assumed at this point. It's can they stay free and clear of the coronavirus? Can they make smart decisions? Can Major League Baseball enforce physical distancing? And can this get off without a hitch? Because we know there will be hiccups along the way. We know that there will be positive tests. But can this be done safely in a way that minimizes harm? That's the big question that baseball is confronting right now. And, you know, it's an exciting time. It's also, you know, a time to be concerned. Should baseball be pushing forward with this? But the reality is they're going to try. So it's our obligation to cover it and to cover it in full.
Well, there are cutouts now with pictures on them of season ticket holders and other people that want to pay $100. So they'll have something that looks like people in the seats, at least pictures. And are your parents or FX and Nancy Hayden Crowley going to do that? And
I could not see that ever happening, Marty. I don't
really
think that, they have a tough enough time leaving their home to go watch the game at the ballpark. I don't think that that's an experience they enjoy compared to being able to see it in HD on their couch. So I don't think you'll be getting cutouts of FX and Nancy at Oracle Park. That's not too realistic on this side.
I'm disappointed. I thought for sure they would be behind home plate and we could talk about them every week. All right.
Well, if you sponsor them, Marty, maybe they will show up there.
All right. I'm in, whatever it takes. I'll do it. All right. Hey, it's great having you on, as always. And I know when I say it's not a piece of cake, it's not a piece of butter cake from Original Joe's, but I'm sure it's in your future. As always, John Dugan, the greatest restaurateur, does a fabulous job. Westlake's open for in-restaurant dining and, of course, the takeout and go, and there's some curbside service. As well, the tables are set up in North Beach, so I hope you can take advantage of it.
Yeah, not only in my future, but in my very recent past. I think we went there on Wednesday night and picked up dinner. So, yeah, we were out there with Christian and John Dugan and the whole staff out there at Westlake.
Beautiful. Carrie, take care of yourself. Be safe. And I honestly tell you, you guys have a lot of responsibility to tell this story because we will not be able to see it. And you're the one who's going to tell the story. So you guys are going to be a big part of the show, I hope, as we go forward this month. So take care.
Well, certainly looking forward to it, Marty, and definitely looking forward to our chat next Saturday.
All right. Take care. Carrie Crowley of the Bay Area News Group. More coming up. KMBR 680-1045, the sports leader.